Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. I'm Webby with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments. More of a playoff-type game tonight with Pittsburgh fighting for their playoff lives. They get a much-needed point, but Jake McCabe wins this one for the Leafs in overtime. Auston Matthews with his 65th goal of the season. We'll talk Keefe comments on line matching. Crosby took some abuse tonight, and Brody had a recent revival in his play. So who do you got for first star tonight, CP, and what'd you think of this one?
You'd think I'd be prepared by now. We've done this for like half a season, the first star, but...
Three quarters of a season, at least.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mitch Marner. Just because I feel like he's starting to get his feels back. I was starting to see some of that elite passing that this team's been missing, honestly. I don't think I've ever been more bought into the core four of this team, just because Marner, like missing Marner for so long and now him being back, like you can just see such a clear difference in the team to me. So, yeah, that's kind of my takeaway.
Yeah, that's a great first star and a big game. This was definitely more of an important game than the last one. You know, Pittsburgh fighting for their respective playoff lives, and you could definitely tell it. It felt more like playoff hockey to start this one off. I thought it was great showing from the Leafs, and I'm really enjoying the three lines of offense. Sheldon Keefe today was asked about it, and he was asked about the matchups. He says he'll respect their game and make sure they're in good spots defensively, but he wants the McMahon-Tavares-Marner line to basically be his shutdown line. So he put them on Sidney Crosby's line tonight. He had them playing the toughest line in the last game, and he will continue to do so. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think he's kind of been preparing for this as well, because he's been giving Tavares and Willie some tough assignments before Marner's come back. And now having Marner there, now you can kind of go full blow, you know, like you're a shutdown line, play against McDavid, play against Crosby. And I mean, I love it. I think it's like Marner's destined to play on a shutdown line, whether it's going to be with Matthews or Tavares. I think whatever line he's on, I think will be like taking the toughest assignments. And also on the three lines of offense, I think it's just the perfect setup for this team. We haven't seen enough of it, and I just hope that like we keep going with it. And tonight, even you could tell that like Keefe didn't necessarily care about the outcome of the game, because he was just kind of rolling lines. Like there wasn't as much of trying to shut down the game with just throwing out two lines of hockey. Like more guys got shifts than you would typically see.
No, but you did definitely see a Tavares Marner heavy against the Crosby line. That's for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And
that's how they started the game. Definitely interesting. I think it opens up a lot of things, especially with the potential warts of Bertuzzi and Domi playing with Matthews. Matthews is an elite defensive player, but having those two is kind of a liability. You can only babysit so many people. You know, you can't just run the whole defensive scheme yourself. So it's good to be able to put him against, you know, say a lesser competition. The guy's going to rip goals and against pretty much anybody you put him against. So, you know, having these guys as a skilled defensive shutdown, I kind of like it better than the whole camp idea of a shutdown line.
Yeah, I do too. Like it's, you kind of have to see it before you can like say that. But yeah, I think it's just Tavares. And I feel like it's also beneficial for Tavares, because we're just going to see like this downturn in point production in his career. And if he can turn himself into a shutdown type player while providing, you know, kind of like a you know, offensive spark. A point per game, maybe a little bit under that as things go on, that then like he can like make his career, you know, longer and be, it's definitely beneficial for the Leafs. So yeah, I think it's awesome. Like, I still think that Kampf should get a bump in the lineup. Like, that's where maybe we'll talk about it, but like the, like, I would like to see maybe Kampf on the third line with Willie. Because like, I think that he's kind of being wasted a little bit, and we're not going to see much of him at all when it comes to, like, you know, the playoffs. Cause like we see it year after year that it's basically three line hockey with a fourth line getting about 5, you know, 7 minutes.
Maybe this year it'll be different. Maybe this year it'll be different. Who knows? I'd like to point out that JT's now got 60 points, and that's the 12th time in his career he's hit the 60-point mark. So congratulations, John Tavares, on that. So you tell me, CP, is the narrative tonight that they were outshot 10-5 and outscored 1-0 in the first, or is it the fact that they battled back, got themselves in it in the second, and held their way through the third?
Like a little bit of both. Like I felt like Pittsburgh brought a little bit more than the Leafs did, but I mean, they're the ones that have more to lose here, and you know, they need the points more. So I was really happy with the Leafs' effort, just based on, like, you know, like, this game doesn't mean anything other than you're playing against, you know, your ex-GM's team and Sidney Crosby.
And a team who wants it, right? A team who's good enough to potentially be in the dance. Like, they're fighting for a spot, and they're playing playoff hockey right now. Like, they're playing with that intensity, and that's the kind of games that you want to play in to ramp up. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, that's why I'm pretty happy with what we saw from the Leafs tonight. You know, like, just they showed up for a game. You know, they didn't necessarily bring what they're going to bring in game one of the playoffs, but for a regular season in like game, like, what is it, 74 or 5 or something, like that is as much as you could ask for. So, yeah.
77.
Quick math here.
So, yeah. Like 77, game 77. We got 5 left after this.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't we get into TJ Brody? TJ Brody made a great read on the Knies goal tonight. Yeah. The broadcasters even pointed it out that in a lot of situations, he could have just thrown it on net. He waited just that extra second, snapped it over to Knies, and he tipped it in. Great tip by Knies, or little shovel, I guess, whatever you want to call it there. But Brody's got 6 points in his last 7 games. You think he's going to be an integral part of this playoff lineup, or an in-and-out guy?
I think that play just in general, like, just shows how much more comfortable he's feeling. Cause like, if you're a guy that thinks that he's desperate to make a play, you know, and not make the wrong play, I think that, like, yeah, you shuffle it just onto net, you know, it's such an easy thing to do, but to have the patience to see that Knies is over there and make a play, I think that's why I think he's like I was saying 2 games ago that I think he's in game one lineup. And I think even more so, like, I'm just feeling more and more confident about it.
Yeah, I think he's really starting to find his spot, and I can't imagine he's going to be an in-and-out guy. Like, if he's good TJ Brody, like, he's too good to be taken in and out of this lineup and substituted. You know, that TJ Brody running at full TJ Brody is exactly the kind of defender that we want in our lineup. And 6 points in your last 7 games, that's not exactly something you expect from Rhodes. So, nice to see that happening.
Especially for a team that, like, lacks getting points from defensemen. I mean, that's, like, we're always, like, basically, like, in the, you know, definitely bottom third, but normally we're like the last team from points from defensemen. So yeah, if you can get anything from anyone, and he's been a guy that's been like not just a defensive shutdown, like a bit more of a two-way guy when he plays at his best. So,
and you've seen in years past, time and time again, you need defenders like that in the playoffs. You need guys who can defend. You do need guys who can defend and play in your own end. You need guys who can stay in front of the net, but you need guys on the back end who can score. You need them not necessarily put the puck in the back of the net, but at least make a play in the offensive zone where it just doesn't go to die on your stick. So it's nice seeing Brody get involved.
Yeah, like the one downfall is, like, I feel like defensemen basically control the playoffs. Like, you see it, whether it's an offensive defenseman or like a defensive shutdown crew, like, that's what's really comes down to when it matters. Like, I just go back, like, two very polar opposites, but, like, you know, Dallas, when they went for their playoff run, like, Miro Heiskanen and Klingberg were just such a dynamic force. But then, like, you have the contrary of, like, Vegas, you know, that's like a core group, and they do have offensive talent, but it's more of like, you know, like the physicality and other things they bring. So like, yeah, I think that the more you get out of your defenseman is the better. I just like, I think
Theodore and Pietrangelo could certainly make plays. Absolutely. They're really good at that.
That's why I said upside, like offensive upside for sure, but they're more of like a core altogether that get it done versus like two outstanding players that Dallas had that one year is what I'm saying. Yeah. But yeah, definitely Vegas has offensive upside, no question.
It 100% runs through the defense, and you know, it's nice to see that potentially we might see some of that on our Toronto Maple Leafs this year. Wouldn't that be nice just for once?
I think that like if Edmondson comes back and we see all of these defensemen at their very best, they have, you know, what it takes to make a deep run. Like, is it going to be the best defensive core in the, like in the playoffs? Like, definitely not. Like, that's just not going to happen. That's not how this team's built. Nope. But are they going to be adequate to maybe, you know, win a round or two or something? Like, I think they're adequate. So yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's going to be funny. Imagine like this Leafs team wins the cup and then, you know, it's a mimic league. And the rest of the league, you know, mimics. What do you mimic about this team? What is there? You're just going to pay four top forwards? That's like everybody's going to start to do that now?
Pay for talent. Like, that would literally be the, like, pay for talent and find what works around it. Like, if this Leaf team wins, like, that's what's going to be the answer. Kyle Dubas tried it for a long time. Yeah, and it's basically, like, Treliving's doing the exact same thing, just with, like, different types of guys surrounding him. So.
Yeah, shit kickers and dickheads.
So, like, it just means that, like, maybe the formula is a little bit different than it was, but it's not far off. But, yeah, like, that'd be insane. I feel like this league would, you know, like, in 4 years' time, if the Leafs would win, like, you're going to see 7-6 games on the regular.
Completely different, like, different league. Yeah, I totally agree. Just a thought I had. Okay, Matthew Nyes is a big game player. In every big game where it's like, oh, this game has some meaning to it, or he should get up for this one, Matthew Nyes shows up. I am absolutely loving him in his lesser role. And I was so hard on him for so long in the season because he was not in the right position. We want him to be a top line left winger. He's just not a top line left winger right now. What he is a very, very good hockey player, and he can find his spot on this team. And I think it's down lower in the lineup where he's been playing against the competition he has, because he looks fantastic.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you've said. I feel like I've had a problem with people saying he's had a down year because of just like you said, he's been playing on the top line. And when you ask a kid who's, I mean, he's not necessarily a kid, but, you know, a guy that's just come out of college to play against the best players in the NHL, like, for his offensive production to not be at his highest is just, you know, that's to be expected. So, yeah, to get him down in a lineup where he can thrive and play like a style of hockey that he was used to playing. It's not always having to worry about, you know, your defensive check. I mean, you do, but, like, you know, it's not... You know, Sidney Crosby coming down the wing at you. You know,
make a mistake and get wrecked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can make a few more mistakes when you're down in the lineup. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he brings. Like, he definitely brings it against Pittsburgh, that's for sure. But I'm
excited.
He
brought it against Tampa. He's brought it against the New York Rangers. He brought it against Florida. He's brought it in these big games. Like, right. And he brought it, like, he had a big goal against Pittsburgh earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Like, he's had some pretty big games and some pretty big moments. And it's nice to see that. I wonder if, you know, he's a big game guy and he steps up in the playoffs and ends up getting a bunch of points. And we're just like, who even is this guy?
Well, if this team needs anything, it's a big game guy. So, yeah, that would be amazing if he could become that for us. I was just salivating tonight looking at those stats from Bertuzzi. Like, I know he had a really good showing for Boston, but, like, 10 points in seven games. Five goals.
Delicious.
Like, oh, yeah. My God. That's what dreams are made of. Like,
yeah, I take that all day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So, from David Alter. That's a rough three consecutive shifts for Crosby, where he's endured some physical pain with not much to show for it. So let's go through these, and I got questions for all of these plays. So McMahon runs 87 into the net.
Yeah.
No penalty. That was fine. That's a good play.
I mean, like I would accept an interference call. Like, I don't know. I was like indifferent on it. I'm just like, I don't know. Like I could have let it go. I think in the playoffs that isn't a call. But like for a regular season and it's Crosby, that's the main thing with all of these, all of these whistles. That's Crosby.
It's Sidney Crosby. Don't forget. Yeah. Okay. So the next one, Bobby McMahon catches a massive break. He whacks the puck with a high stick out of the air and somehow like directs the puck with his, it's like pins the puck in between Crosby's face and his stick.
Yeah.
And doesn't get it. He gets a 4-minute high sticking call, which ends up getting reversed Uno card. And they said, no, he actually played the puck and it was a follow through. Is that a penalty? How are your feelings on that situation?
Okay, like, first of all, that's hilarious. I couldn't believe it. When I watched the replay, I watched it in slow-mo, and I was just like, oh, God, that's a two-minute penalty. And then, like, they called it not – I didn't even watch it the second time because I thought it was just too obvious. And then they call it that, you know, it's not a penalty. And I watched it, and I was like, oh, my – the puck is literally between his stick and him. But, like, I think that should be a penalty just because, like, you shouldn't be swinging sticks at faces. Like,
you have to think about it. Even if Sidney's face wasn't in the way and he was to play that puck, no Leaf would have been allowed to touch that puck after because it would have been played with a high stick. So That's a high stick. It's a high stick, whether it's a penalty high stick. And if it's a high stick and it hits somebody in the face, well, then it's a high stick. It was all puck. You know, it was all puck. I was still, I mean, yes, it was really, really borderline, though. It was a really gray area.
I just feel like, if you're swinging a stick up near someone's face and it connects in any way, whether the puck is in between or not, I just feel like you need to wait until it goes to at least shoulder length. Like, smoke someone in the chest with your stick, I don't care. But as soon as you get up towards the neck and the head, like, that's where I draw a line. But, I mean, like, I don't know. How's the rule written?
If you're playing the puck and it's a follow through that hits the face, that there is no penalty. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly how it was called. They got the rule right. What I'm saying is maybe they didn't account for all situations when they wrote the rule. And this was a really gray part, because if that would have happened to Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or et cetera, et cetera, we'd have been losing our fucking minds. Cause that was a blatant high stick.
Yeah, and like, you're right, because like you're never going to like be able to make a play from that, making like contact with the puck. Like, whether it's a pass or it's a goal, like it's always going to be called back, like as a, you know, high stick or above the bar. Like it's never going to be a goal or an assist. So
was it in the offensive zone or the defensive zone? Because if it's in the offensive zone, then you should never be able to. But if it's in the defensive zone, then technically you could say, yes, because I was trying to clear the puck away from them making a good play in my zone.
The Leafs were in the defensive zone.
So then maybe, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
the situation. There's an argument there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I haven't read the rule book, so I wonder what subsection, you know, -18 says. Could be that.
Does it even matter, though? They always make their own decisions on the rule book anyway, so...
Oh, yeah, they just fucking make it up as they go.
Yeah.
What about Matthews running into Crosby? He comes around the net, not paying attention, a little bit of a, oops, sorry, not sorry. He definitely dropped. It was more kind of like the Martian running into, was it Marner or whoever, a few weeks ago when he just bumped him. Maybe Liljegren was a Marner. I can't remember Martian, but they did. I didn't see him. But, like, yeah, he didn't see him, but, I mean, he nailed him. And it was really funny watching them get up. Because Austin Matthews is such a bad actor. Like, he's got to play hockey because he's not, like, he can't move to LA and be in a movie. Like, that guy's terrible. He's like mimicking Crosby. Like, is he all right? He's all right. Yes. Oh my. Oh, that hurts. Oh yeah. Oh, he's good. Yeah. Okay. I'm good. Yeah. We're good. Let's go. You know,
I didn't read it that way. Like, at first, because Austin Matthews to me just doesn't have that in him, but then But when they when they said it on the intermission and they replayed it back, I was like, there's no way that Austin Matthews doesn't know Crosby is there. Cause it's not like he hasn't seen him in a while. Like, he literally just looked at him a second before. And yes, he took his eyes off of the puck. But a hockey player that good has the awareness to know exactly where
that's
that
exactly. It's exactly what the panel said, right? Yeah. The intermission panel said that. Yeah. Like, you know, it's hard to believe that a guy that good doesn't have awareness of where everybody is on the ice and that what he's going about to run into. The only thing that I can say to that is there was a time in a game with the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Pittsburgh Penguins where Austin Matthews was chasing Sidney Crosby so hard that he skated directly into the bar. Do you remember? And took it square between the eyes.
Yeah, I do remember.
So
that.
Maybe not always they're always around or aware of their surroundings. Maybe not always.
I mean, like, I think that was the most fluky of play ever. Like, even Matthews was just like, I had no answer to how he could have done that. Like,
which one?
The head to the bar.
Yeah, that was terrible. He's just knocking Crosby so hard.
Yeah, like how many times has he skated around the net? And I bet you he's never done that before. Like, I couldn't believe that when that happened. But I read it totally wrong off the hop. And to my defense, I am watching two games tonight, and I'm still currently watching a Blue Jays game. My eyes weren't as soon as my eyes were available to leave the hockey game, they did. And they looked at my second screen to watch the Blue Jays.
Well, there you go. Yes. Yeah. Big home opener for the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Yeah. And they're having a hell of a game. Jose Berríos was just pulled for some god awful reason, but we can talk about that near the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else we got here? The Leafs penalty kill stays hot. They killed 19 of their last 20 penalties at one point in this game. Do you have any more thoughts on the penalty kill and now that Mitch Marner's back on it?
I think it looked great without him, and it still looks great with him on it. So I just think he's an upgrade to what they were already doing, and it hasn't been the personnel, it's been their strategy. So they're just way harder on pucks. They chase absolutely everything. Until they are totally gassed and just don't have the energy. The X's and O's say that they chase every player with a puck. So I think that's been the biggest difference. And Marner, you know, he's fast. He's good with his stick. I think he fits to that mold perfectly. And he's kind of a waste of just making him sit in the middle and be patient. I think he is a guy that does better at chasing pucks. He can knock a puck out of the air, you know, in his sleep. So, yeah, I think it's the strategy's been the biggest difference, and he's been great.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think it looks great with him back on it. I'm glad that that's starting to fire up. The power play got a goal tonight with Austin Matthews. So we have Alex Ovechkin and Austin Matthews since the salary cap was introduced that have scored 65 goals in a season. Pretty incredible. He scores his goal tonight on the power play. So they're now 2 for their last 21. That's not great, but I mean, they scored the power play, so you can't complain about that. But the bigger story, obviously, is Austin Matthews scoring 65 goals. Did you ever think you would see a Toronto Maple Leaf score 65 goals?
No, until I met Austin Matthews and he scored, not that I met him, but until I watched him play for the Leafs for the first time and he scored 4 goals in his first game. And then everything became possible. That was the biggest thing. So I think that we're being way too complacent about this season. Everyone should be just losing their mind that we have a 65 goal scorer and he's has the ability to get close to 70 or to get 70. So yeah, it's crazy. I feel like I'm corrupted by Leafs Nation too. Cause I want to get excited. I want to just be
but because there's been no playoff success, we're not allowed or something.
I know.
No. It's funny because we had this stupid eclipse today, right? And it's I don't care about the eclipse. I don't care. The eclipse came and I was that is phenomenal. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And it's the same thing as the Austin Matthews thing. You hear about it. Oh, he might get 65, might get 70. And you're that's great. Oh, he scored 60 again. But now he's hit 65. He actually hit 65. He's actually he's there, man. He doesn't have anybody else in the league in the last 20 years who has scored more goals than him in a season. He's the man. He is the purest goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now. And that is 100% underappreciated. And we could take a second and appreciate that right now. It's amazing to see him score that many goals. And it's crazy the way that he did it in bunches. Could you imagine if he was scoring more often as well? He didn't have as long of those streaks where he didn't score goals. The guy legitimately can score 75 in a season. He will one day. He will. He's so good. It's just, I wouldn't put anything against Austin Matthews right now. Like, if you want to put a bet up there that he might complete it, I wouldn't put it against him because he's absolutely superhuman on skates.
Yes. Yeah, 75 is crazy, but just because like 65 is crazy. If he pumped out another 65, like, I feel like there's like some.
But he did this and he still had stretches of being cold. There might be a season where that doesn't happen.
Well, I would probably not, because like throughout history, every single goal scorer and of the best caliber, like, it's streaky. Like, that's just how goal scoring is for some reason. Like, you can be the most consistent assist man in the world. You cannot be the most consistent goal scorer in the world. But you can pump out a lot of them, no question. And you can be the best goal scorer of all time. But I think you're always going to be like slightly streaky. You know, like, that's, it's just one of those things. I don't know what the answer is. It's just shooting. And like, it's like, think makes me think of basketball in a little way. Like, when you can like drain a three, you know, you can drain a three, but as soon as you stop, like, then you just can't for a little bit. And then you can, you know, smash down 20 in a row again. But like, it's just something about it where you just, you know, it's a streaky endeavor, but it's just crazy what he can do. And the only problem is that, like, yes, it's been the playoff success, but he just hasn't hit on one of these streaks at the right time. And like, that's the problem is, like, you know, you go on these cold streaks as a goal scorer, and if you only have 7 games to play in the playoffs each year, because you lose each year, like, that's a hard window to hit throughout a, you know, 89 game season. So like, if he does hit one of them and he puts up, you know, 3 goals in a game twice, then like, we're having a totally different conversation. And we're talking about this guy as being like the best player ever again. But, you know, yeah. It's just one of those things where, yeah, it's kind of, we're guarded. And even if we want to be happy about it and we want to ignore the playoff stuff, like, everyone around us just reminds us of it. So it's hard to be like completely just on board and just woohoo. Yeah.
I know. It's absolutely unfathomable to see this happening here in Leafs Nation, and it's crazy that we just take it for granted the way that we do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't even put it past him from doing it again. So you maybe the more that we get this, the narrative will build, and he'll actually get his flowers in the right way. Because as much as Austin Matthews is loved, I honestly don't feel like he's getting the correct appreciation for his personal success, because we are so fixated on the fact that there's been no team success forever.
And that's like, we're not like preaching it so much because of like our fanhood inside, but like, the rest of the league isn't talking about it because they hate the Leafs. So it's like this, you know, double whammy here where, you know, even the people that love him aren't celebrating him, and then there's the rest of the people just hate him. But like, that's like Crosby, like, a lot of Canadians sing his praises, you know, like, maybe not as much Ovechkin because a lot of people like to hate him, but other players don't play on a team where, like, everyone loves to hate.
No, that's absolutely true. All right, well, we will wrap this one up. The Leafs play the Devils tomorrow, but Split the Defense is going to be taking the game off. Producer Ted and I are going to go see Queens of the Stone Age. So that'll be some good times. We will be back for the Thursday Devils game. Right.
Yes, and another thing I want to mention before we go to something that I joined on just for the podcast, and we haven't even fucking mentioned it, is the Fantasy League that I joined and paid $100 to play in. Played with you guys for content for the show, and it finally finished last night. Congratulations to CP for winning it. I came second, still banked some cashola, so I did enjoy that. But yeah, yep. That was a lot of
congrats,
fun.
Congrats, boys. Good job. I got kicked out in the first round. Fuck you both. Happy fantasy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Ted actually probably had the most impressive season just from where he was.
Massive comeback.
Like, making the playoff season, because I think, Ted, you were in last, I think, like a quarter of the way through the season.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Jumped a guy, took a while to jump another. And yeah, it was full steam ahead, though, like, by trade deadline time. So
Good
on you for figuring it out.
Yeah, led the league in moves made, so
Oh, nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, well, let's wrap this one up. Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on our YouTube, and please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs postgame edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.